holding by Adoin Olam. So let's just first go through the simple understanding of the words, and then we'll delve into it a little bit deeper. Adoin Olam Asher Malach B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. The master of the world who reigned before any form was created. Now realize that the way the words have to be said are Adonai Olam Hashem Malach B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, before all form was created, not B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. It doesn't work with the song B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. It's wrong. It doesn't work. Right? It's B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, before all any form was created. At the time when his will brought all into being, Azai Melech Shmoy Nikra, then as king his name was proclaimed. After all has ceased to be, the Vada Yimlech Noira, he the awesome one will reign alone. So we'll stop here for today. These first three lines of Adonai Olam are based on what we ordinarily know as Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch Lo'ilam Vod. Hashem is king, Hashem was king, and Hashem will king forever. So the first line here talks about the past, Adonai Olam Hashem Moloch, right? The master of the world who reigned, who was king, B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, before any form came into being, that's Hashem Moloch. La'eis Nasa V'cheftzai Koil, then at the time when everything was created, Azai Melech Shmai Nikra, then he is called Melech, presently king. And then when everything ceases to exist, then he will reign by himself. Right? So Hashem Moloch, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch Lo Ilam Vod. That is what these three first lines are based on. Now, the difficulty is that there are different reasons given as to why the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world. One of the famous reasons is, both of these are brought by the Maharal and the Ramchal, is that the Ribbono Shel Olam is tachlis hatoiv. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the absolute good. And teva hatoiv lahetiv. It is the nature of someone that is good to bestow good upon others. And since there were no others, so therefore the Ribbono Shel Olam created a world so that he should have who to share goodness with. And that is why Hashem created good and evil, so that there should be free choice, that we should actually deserve the good that he gives us, because good that is undeserving is not absolutely good. People are embarrassed to accept gifts. So the Ribbono Shel Olam made it so that we have free choice, and we deserve the goodness that he gives us, and that is how the purpose of creation is fulfilled, when the Ribbono Shel Olam is able to give us of his goodness. Now, this is the best reason given, because obviously, who made it that the nature of good should be to give good, to bestow good? The Ribbono Shel Olam made it that way. I mean, he could have made it that it shouldn't be that way, and then he would have had to create the world. So, but that's as far up as we can go. That's what the Maral. That's what Maral tells us. Now, another reason that is given for the creation of the world is that Ribbono Shel Olam desired to be melech. Ribbono Shel Olam desired to be king. And there's a rule, Ein melech b'lo yam. There is no king without a nation. In order for one to be king, there's got to be a subject. So therefore, the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world so that there should be subjects, and now the Ribbono Shel Olam is melech. Now, why did the Ribbono Shel Olam desire to be melech? That's beyond our comprehension. But this is as far as we can grasp. The Ribbono Shel Olam desired to be melech. Kach gozra chachmosai. That is what the Ribbono Shel Olam's chachma decreed, and as a result, there's a creation so that there should be subjects in order for the Ribbono Shel Olam to be melech.
Well, based on that, he has desires.
Exactly right. So it's a fine. Yeah. Kach gozra chachmosai. I once suggested that, based on these two reasons, we have a machlokes between Rav Eliezer and Rav Yeshua when the world was created. Right, Rav Eliezer holds that one of them holds Tishrei Nivra Olam, one of them holds Nissan Nivra Olam. One of them holds that the world was created in Tishrei, one of them holds that the world was created in Nissan. What's the machlokes? Tishrei is a month of Malchus. Is a month of Malchus Shemayim, right? All of our tefillos on Rosh Hashanah surround the Ribbono Shel Olam being Melech on the world. Nisan is a month of Toiv. Is a month of goodness. A month of Chesed. So the machlokes is, what was the purpose of creation, right? According to the opinion that holds B'tishrei Nivra Olam, he holds the purpose of creation was that the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to be melech. Well, if that's the case, then B'tishrei Nivra Olam. And the other opinion holds, the opinion that holds B'nissan Nivra Olam, he holds that the reason the world was created was because Tachlis HaTov L'Heitiv, because the Ribbono Shel Olam is the absolute good, and therefore he wanted to bestow good. So therefore, That's why he created the world. That's been Nisan Nivra Olam.
Nisan mean giving?
No, that's the self. But it's a world of, it comes with the word Nes, miracles. It's a month of miracles. Now, so having said that, the difficulty here is it says here in the first line, Adon Olam Hashem, Allah, the master of the world who reigned, he was Melech. When was he Melech? V'terem kol yitzir nivra. Before any form was created. What do you mean?
There's no Melech then. Ein Melech v'loyam.
There's no such thing as a king without a nation. How can we possibly say Asher Malach that the Ribbono Shel Olam reigned, that he was Melech, v'terem kol yitzir nivra? So, there's a sefer Eitz Yosef. It's printed in the Yotzer HaTfilas. So he explains that it's actually quite the contrary. On a melech basar v'dam, on a king of flesh and blood, it is possible to say that his malchus, that his kingdom, depends on him having subjects. Because a king of flesh and blood is not essentially a king. He's only a king because people recognize him as king. Either he was elected as king or because he reigns over people, that's why he's king. But he's not, in essence, he's not a king. His entire malchus is due to the fact that he is recognized as king. That is by a king of flesh and blood. by the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Ribbono Shel Olam in essence is a king. Meaning, before the world was created, the Ribbono Shel Olam had the total rule of whether to create a world, whether not to create a world. The rule is always in the Ribbono Shel Olam's hands. And just like we understand that there is malchus over existence, that same malchus over existence, which means he can do whatever he wants, that same rule applies to non-existence. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, if he wants it to remain non-existent, if he wants the world to remain non-existent, then that's what it will be. But it's due to his malchus, because the Ribbono Shel Olam's malchus is not dependent on anything else. So what do the Sfarim mean when they say that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world because Ein Melech B'Layam? It means that the Ribbono Shel Olam desired to be recognized as Melech. That's what it means. He wanted to be recognized as Melech, and in order to be recognized as Melech, he had to create a world. And said the Etz Yosef, and this is exactly what the Paitan is saying here, the author of Adon Olam, is saying like this: Adon Olam, the master of the world, Asher Moloch, he reigned b'terem kol yitzir nivra. He reigned even before anything was created. Le'es nasa v'cheftz l'koil, but once everything was created with his will, azay melech shemoy nikra, now he's called a king. Until then, before he created the world, he was king, but he wasn't recognized as king. But now, once he created everything in the world, is Azay Melech Shemoy Nikra. Now his name will be called king. Sorry, what did you want to say?
Question: Malach existed when?
What?
Malach and angels.
Angels? Yeah. On the second day of creation.
Before that, they were
no. Interesting that the Etz Yosef also says that the reason why this piyut doesn't begin with Melech Olam, it begins with Adon Olam. He quotes a Maharsha that says that it's only when the Beis Hamikdash is standing and when Bnei Yisrael are in their land that it is appropriate to call the Ribbono Shel Olam Melech Olam. That's why we say by davening, and by Musaf, we say, Galei Kvod Malchus Chaleinu, Hashem should reveal his Malchus once again upon us, Hashem should restore his Malchus. Meaning that in the time of Golus, Kviyachol, the Ribbono Shel Olam isn't Melech. We can't call him Melech. Right. So, we call him, right now he's the master of the world. Adon Olam. Asher Moloch. But he did reign, he was king, B'terem kol yitzir nivra, before the world was created, Elias nas b'chav tzukal azay melech shmai nekira, v'yachrei kechlei zakoil, he says, after when all evil will be destroyed, which is at the time of Mashiach, azay levada yim loich nara, then the Ribbono Shel Olam, once again, his malchus will be restored once again.
Would that be brachah
that we see in
Perhaps.
I don't think you have to come on to that. I think that if you go back to Shiurim when we explained what Barachat Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam means, we described that Barachat Hashem means when I recognize that what I'm about to eat or what I'm about to do, or what I'm looking at, all different things we make brachas upon, when I realize that this is part of the Ribbono Shel Olam's malchus, right? So what I'm doing at that point is making the Ribbono Shel Olam melech over the world. So it's Baruch Ato Hashem, as the Sfarim explained, means Baruch comes from the word to be mavrich, which is to bring down. Baruch Ato Hashem, I'm actually bringing down the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he should be Elokeinu Melech Olam. Right now, I'm making him Melech Olam. That is our act when we make the bracha. That is what we're accomplishing. By the way, I wanted to, as an introduction to this, to Adon Olam, wanted to repeat what's written in the Sefer Matan Moshe. The Matan Moshe was a Talmud of the Marshal. He brings in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Chosid that Rav Shrira Goin and his son, Rav Hai Goin, said that Kol HaMachaven Be'ez Adon Olam Muftach Leishat Tfilos HaNishmas. Somebody who has in mind what they're saying when they say Adon Olam is guaranteed that his tefillos will be listened to. So, listen carefully to this year. Shlach HaKadosh says that the reason why we say Adon Olam before we begin davening is because I think we've mentioned this in the previous shiurim. According to the Mekubalim, a person travels through all of the four worlds when a person davens. We start out in the Olam HaAsiyah. This world is called Olam HaAsiyah. And as davening progresses, we, not physically, but there is an ascending throughout the world, meaning our tefillahs reach higher and higher worlds. So from Olam HaAsiyah, we go up into Olam HaYetzirah, and then from there into Olam HaBriyah, and then from there into Olam HaAtzilus. Now, there's only three worlds of creation. Briyah, Yetzirah, and Asiyah are worlds of creation. Atzilus is above creation. Atzilus is called Ein Sof. It's a level where there is infinity. Called Ein Sof. So you'll realize that when it says over here, Adon Olam, the master of the world, Asher Malach, who reigned, Beterem Kol Yitzir Nivra. This was before any Yitzir was Nivra, meaning before Yitzira and before Bria. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam reigned before creation. When we talk about creation, before Yetzir and Nivra, before Yetzira and Bria. La'is Nasa v'chavtza kol, and once Asiya came into being, which is this world, Azai Melech Shmai Nikra. That's when he was recognized as king, because then there were creations that recognized him. But Yetzira, Bria, and Asiya are mentioned here in these first two lines. Adon Olam Asher Molach B'terem Kol Yetzir Nivra Le'es Nasa B'chavtza Kol, says the Shlach HaKadosh, that Adon, the numerical value of Adon is Aleph is 1, Dalet is 4, that's 5, Vav is 6, which is 11, Nun is 50, which is 61, right? 61 Adon is the same gematria as the word Ein, right? Ein is Aleph Yud Nun, which is also 61. Aleph is 1, Yud is 10, Nun is 50, which is 61. Adon and Ein is the same gematria. Olam is Ein is 70, Vav is 6, that's 76. Lamed is 30, that's 106. And Mem is 40, which is 146, which is the same gematria as Sof. So Adon Olam is the same gematria as Ein Sof, which is Atzilus. The only world that was not mentioned in Yitzir Nivra Le'es Nasa. So Adon Olam is Ein Sof. Adon master of the world, which is Ein Sof. Asher Moloch, He reigned in Ein Sof b'terem kol yitzir nivra, before yitzira, before bria. And the Eis Nasa b'chavtza koel, and once Asiya came into being, Azay Melech Shmai Nigra. Yeah, we're the only creatures that have das. I guess. Now, it's brought in all the Sfarim bring that the reason why we begin with the word Adonai Olam is based on a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Yuma, it's a Mishnah in Masechtas Tamid. And the Mishnah says that in the time of the Beis Hamikdash was standing, and they would want to bring the Korban Tamid, the Tamid Shel Shachar, the Korban Tamid of the morning. So it had to be brought at Netzach Hamah. It had to be brought at sunrise. So the person in charge would send out Kayhanim to go look if it's sunrise yet. So the words they would use was, Heir Pnei Mizrach Ad Chevron. They would answer the face of the east has illuminated until Chevron. So the Mishnah asks, why are we mentioning Chevron? So the answer the Mishnah gives is because to arouse the merit of those who are buried in Chevron. Now, the reason why we mention specifically Chevron is because we know that the tefillahs were established. There's two opinions in the Gemara, whether it was established correspondent to the Korban Tamid, or it was established correspondent to the Avos. Right? The Avos established the tefillahs. So tefillah shachris is in the merit of Avraham Avinu. So the Tamid Shal Shachar, we want to arouse the schus specifically of Avraham Avinu, who purchased the Maros HaMachpelah. The Gemara says in Mesechtas Brachos that Miyom Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ha'olam, from the day Hashem created the world, Lo Yehoya Adam Shekara LaKadosh Baruch Hu Adoin Ad Sheba Avraham Vekara Adoin, until Avraham Avinu came and called him Adoin, called him Master. Shenemar says in the Pasuk Vayomer Hashem Elokim, Adna Elokim, he called Aleph Dal Nun Yud, Adna Elokim, Vama Eda Ki Yirashena. How do I know that I will inherit the world, that I will inherit the land? Right, that's what Avraham Avinu said, but he called Avraham, it was the first time anyone ever called Hashem Aleph Dal Nun Yud, which means master. So, the first word of Tefillah Shachris is Adoin, Adoin Adam. Master of the world. We want to do the same as the Kehanim would do at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, that they would want to arouse the schus of those buried in Chevron, because they were the ones that established Tefillah Shachris. We want to do the same. So as the first thing we say is Adonai Olam, and we're automatically arousing the schus of Avraham Avinu, who was the first one to call the Ribbono Shel Olam the Adonai of the world. The Sfarim bring that when this pshat was brought to the Vilna Gaon, he praised it tremendously. He was very enthusiastic about this. And the Brisker Rav, he was asked why the Vilna Gaon was so enthusiastic about it. It doesn't seem that much that deep of a pshat. It seems pretty very simple. So he said, because it's emes. That's why. And the Vilna Goy loved Emes. It's true. That's why we mentioned the word Adayin. Just comes to mind now that we just had above that the Marshal says that as long as where the Beis Hamikdash is standing, then the Rebbeinu Nishlam is called Melech. It's in Golos when the Rebbeinu Nishlam is called Adayin, because his Malchus is not revealed. Right, so he's called Adayin. When Avraham Avinu called Hashem Adayin, it was when he said, Mamay Edaki Roshena. It was when he questioned Hashem and said, how do I know that I will inherit the land? It was then that Golus was decreed upon Klal Yisrael. Right? When he said, Mamay Edaki Roshena, Hashem answered, that is when Golus was decreed upon Klal Yisrael. So it is therefore that in Golus we use the term Adayin, because it was specifically when the word Adayin was used that Golus was decreed upon us. We're just thinking about that now. What I'd like to suggest, perhaps, an approach to this beginning of Adayin Olam in a manner of Avoda. You'll realize that in each one of these first three lines of Adayin Olam, the word Koil is mentioned. Adayin Olam Hashem Malach B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. Leis Nas B'Chefza Koil Azay Melech Shemay Nikra V'Achrei Kechleis HaKoil Levada Yim Lech Nera. This is Kof Lamed.
Ah, sorry.
This is Kof Lamed.
Yeah.
So, what comes to mind is a concept that is brought in many of the Sfarim HaKadoshim, specifically in the Chasam Sofer. That There are three components within a person. And they are moyach, right? The person's brain. Lev, there is the heart. And kaved, which is the liver. And the way the Sfarim explain, this is brought in the Shem Shmuel, it's brought in many, many of the Sfarim. The way the Sfarim explain is that the moyach is a person's intellect, right? The brain is a person's intellect. Lev is a person's emotions and desires. And kaved represents the person's physical body. It's the guf. Action. Anything that pertains to the physical body. The order that a person is supposed to function, the way a yid is supposed to conduct themselves, is to make sure things are in order. And that is that we don't, do not follow your heart. A person is not to follow their desires. We're supposed to follow our intellect. Our intellect, we are supposed to make sure that our moyach is shalat al alev. We're supposed to make sure that our intellect reigns over our heart. It rules over our heart.
If you're being led by your heart, then you should be led by your intellect. If you're using too much of your heart and you're guiding whatever by your heart, then you need to focus more on your intellect. But if you're guiding too much by your intellect, you definitely need to focus on your heart.
Well, again, they all have to be there. The intellect needs to rule. Yeah, you're talking about somebody whose heart is absent. We're not talking about that. Yeah, there needs to be a good balance. I'm not saying, but the intellect needs to rule. So there is. So if things are in order, say this for him, then that is when. That is how the person makes the Ribbono Shel Olam Melech. Melech is an order of Moyach. Mem is for Moyach. Lamed is for Lev. And the Kaf is for Kaved. Moyach, Lev, Kaved. First, the intellect tells the heart what to desire, what to love. Instead of the heart telling the intellect what to love, the intellect needs to tell the heart what to love. And then the kaved acts, the body acts, based on what the person's intellect has decreed that their heart should love. So it's an order, moyach, lev, kaved. The Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos that the pasuk says in Parshas Balak that Bilam said, "Ma ezaim, loizam, loizam, ma ekoiv like kaved keil, ma ezaim loizam Hashem." I can't curse because Hashem has not gotten angry. And the Gemara explains that every day, keil zoyin b'chol yoyim, Hashem gets angry every day for a moment. Kamazamoy rega, the Gemara says, how long does he get angry for? For a moment. And Bilam knew how to be mechamen as Hashem. Bilam knew how to know exactly when that moment was, and that's when he would curse people. But those days when Bilam was with Balak, Hashem didn't get angry. So Bilam said, I can't curse because lo yizam Hashem, because Hashem didn't get angry. So when the Gemara says that Hashem gets angry for a moment, for a rega, Tosfos asked the question, okay, let's say Bilam did know when that moment was. What can he possibly say in a moment? A moment is a second, right? How can Bilam possibly curse them in a moment? Says Tosfos, he could have said kalem, which means destroy them. Kof lamed men. Says the Chasam Sofer that what that means is kalem means make it that they work exactly the opposite of melech. Kaved lev mayach. Kalem would be kaved lev mayach, that first they should act without thinking, without feeling, and then, if anything, lev should come into second place and their intellect should come in third place. That would bring destruction upon Bnei Yisrael, Chas v'Shalom. That's what Bilam could have said. Just what is Nogea to this week's parsha, regarding what we're saying now. Parsha begins, Ohaya Ekev Tishmiyun. Right? It will be if you, as a result of your listening, as a Mishpatam Ha'ela to these laws, Vishmaratam Asisam Vaisam, and you will observe them and perform them. And the Rashi is already bothered by the word Ekev. It should have said, Ohaya Ekev Tishmiyun. It will be if you listen. If you look at the Parshas Bereishis, Adam, right after the chait of the Eitz Hadas, Hashem tells Adam, and please, ladies, don't get upset with me. It's going to get better. With Adam Omar, Hashem said to Adam, "Ki shamata l'koil ishtacha, because you listened to your wife, And you ate from the tree that I told you not to eat from. Therefore, you shall be cursed. So there's two things that Hashem tells him here. Not only did you eat from the tree, you listened to your wife. Right? There's, that's number one. What's wrong with listening to his wife? What is the Rabbanu Shlom telling Adam? When Hashem speaks to the Nachash, to the snake, Hashem tells him, "Hu yishuf charosh, he will trample your head, v'ata tishufenu akev, and you will bite him at the heel." What does this all mean? Because we kill a snake by trampling his head, and then he bites us on the foot. That's the claw here. We know that a zohar, a male, is a mashpia, is a benefactor, and an akeva represents the recipient. Moyach and Lev, right? Intellect and heart. The intellect is supposed to be the mashpia. Intellect is supposed to be the benefactor. And the Lev is supposed to be the recipient. It's supposed to receive a message from the Moyach, what is appropriate to love, what is appropriate to feel, and that is what one is supposed to love and feel. It should not go the other way around. Right? The lev is not supposed to be telling the moyach what to think. Right? When a person is, Chazal tell us, tzadikim is libam bershusam, by the righteous, their heart is in their possession. Meaning, the tzadikim rule their heart. Whereas rishoyim, Heim v'shus libam, the wicked, they are in the possession of their heart. Meaning their heart tells their moyach what to think instead of their intellect telling their heart what to feel.
If their heart is wicked, but if someone has a good heart, their intellect is developed.
The heart by nature desires things that are inappropriate. That's why the Torah tells us,
rather than children, like there are some children that are born before their intellect is developed, there are other kids that are just so good natured.
Good natured is a different thing. It has nothing to do with the heart. Yeah, we'll talk about that. But, within every person, there is a zohar and an akeva. There's a male and a female. Within every person, the intellect is the male, and the heart is the female. The male is the benefactor, and is the mashpia. And the heart is the nekeva, is the mekabel. Now we have a new understanding. Now we have a new appreciation for Chazal saying, "Koil be'isha erva," that the voice of the woman is an erva. What does that mean? We're not talking about not necessarily talking about women singing, which is true also. But koilish means if you're listening to your koilisha, if you're listening to the voice of your isha, of your heart, that's erva. You should be listening to the koil of your ish. You should be listening to the koil of your intellect. So men and women alike both have a koil ish and a koil isha. Koil be isha erva. So, Adam Arishan should have listened to his intellect, and not eaten from the Chet of Eitzadas, but he had a desire to eat from the Chet of Eitzadas. Ki shomata the koilish techa. You listen to your koilisha. We're not talking about Chava. You listen to your koilisha. V'yochaltam and oetam, and you ate from the tree. So how do we smatter the Nachash, the Satan that wants us to listen to our koil be'isha erva. He wants us to listen to our heart. Hu yeshuvcha rosh. We, the only way we're able to overcome the nachash is by listening to our head. The ato and you snake, tishuvenu akev. The way you overcome the way you overcome mankind is through akev. Akev is Rosh HaTevis, koil be'isha erva. By making them listen to their own koil be'isha. And this is very important for everybody to understand the concept of Ekev, if we want to observe the Torah. That's why the Torah tells us in this week's parasha, V'hoya Ekev Tishmon. If you will understand this concept of Koy B'Nisha Erva, and that's how you'll be able, then you'll be able to perform the mitzvahs. If we're not aware of this concept of Koy B'Nisha Erva, we are very, very prone to following our heart and listening to Koy Lishtecha, listening to the Koy B'Nisha. Coming back to Adonai Olam. That comes from the heart. Again, the mind only has bad things because they receive that message from the heart. Okay. Please do so. Yeah. So, Adonai Olam Asher Malach, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, when is he king? When was he king? B'terem Kol Yetziyah Nivra, before the Kaved Lev of people were created. Right? Kol is Kaved Lev. Before the Kaved Lev of people were created, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam was total melech. La'ace, nowadays, how does the Rebbeinu Shel Olam melech? If Nasa, v'cheftzai koil, if our Kaved Lev does the will of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, as I melech shomai nikra, then the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is melech, then it's moyach lev kaved. V'achrei kichloisa koil, when a person comes to the level that they were able to eradicate their kaved lev, that it doesn't tell them what to do anymore. The person has come to a level of ishabcha. The person is able to transform themselves. That all they want is to do the Rebbeinu Shel Olam as well. Levado yimloich nayra. Then the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the mayach, rules on its own. And the person is able to serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and make the Rebbeinu Shel Olam melech over their entire being. May it be continued next week.